Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Philomath City. This is Linda, and we welcome you in this afternoon. This is the Power Hour with Pastor Mark and Patricia Douglas, and we will have this every first Saturday of the month. This is the hour of a relevant word given by Pastor Mark and Patricia Douglas. And so without any further, let's go. Sit back, relax, get your Bibles out, and you're welcome to the Power Hour with Pastor Mark and Patricia Douglas.
Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for all those that are listening and all those that will receive. We declare healing and restoration in everything that we will say this next hour. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus, to all who agree, amen.
Amen.
Well, since this is the Power Hour, I've been thinking about and praying about what the Lord wants us to talk about today. And it's actually going to be leading up. We're going to be having a singles gathering here at World Covenant next Saturday, if you're in the Nashville or area, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Sleep Inn, which is 1611 Galleria Boulevard. And this one in particular is for single women only. A shout out for the single women.
Woo!
Okay, that's enough shouting out. And so really, I just want to talk today. And those of you that may call in or whatever you do to let us know you have questions, I want to talk to the single women who are in, let's say, contemplating marriage. I want to touch bases on that, and I've got some scripture here. And one thing I want to say starting off is that sometimes we believe, or we have always heard, that you got to have a mate to be whole. Okay, that is not the case. Now, the same thing with single men. You know, some of them think, I have to have a woman or a wife to be made whole. And I want to get rid of that thinking, because that is not the case whatsoever. You are to be whole and complete before you even walk into marriage. Now, I feel in my spirit that I'm going to be saying some things today that's going to cause a lot of you to really think. Now, I'm not trying to cancel any marriage plans or anything like that. However, I just want to make sure that as we talk about this today and we go through a couple of scriptures, that you have the wisdom of God, that you're not rushing into anything, and that you know in your heart this mate is the one God has for you. You see, a lot of times we can be, I'll say, ambushed, bamboozled, or whatever, because we were looking at the wrong things and going into a marriage. And one thing that we tend to do is unknowingly we take in baggage. And there's been many people that I have talked to that are married now and have been married for a while. And what they say to me is, if I knew what I knew now, I would look at it differently. It's not to say they would not have married that person, but they didn't realize when they got married, they brought in baggage themselves. When I say baggage, I mean hurt, unforgiveness, maybe with a bad relationship prior to them getting married, and they jumping into something else. And so there's not enough premarital counseling going on in the earth, I believe. Again, I'm talking to people that's in the body of Christ, as well as people who, of course, may not be. And the ones in the body of Christ, they are telling me they didn't really have premarital counseling. That their premarital counseling was, hope it works out. Hope it works out. Well, that's not an answer that you should give. And I believe that in premarital counseling, every issue should be discussed, from raising your children to even in-laws, if they get to a certain age and someone has to take care of them, how are we going to work that out? How are we going to look at it financially? How do we want to handle our business? You know, are you a tither? Now, that may sound funny, but you might marry somebody that don't believe in tithing, don't really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hello? It happens. There are some counterfeiters out there. There are some perpetrators, okay? And so my prayer is to each one of you that are listening that you pray and ask the Lord to give you discernment to really know for sure that this is a commitment that you want to do. Because this is, you should not go into a marriage thinking, it don't work, I can just get out. That's the wrong attitude. And yet that is what, glory to God, has been portrayed from leadership, even in their premarital counseling, is hope it works, but if it ain't, it's a way out. I ain't seeing that. I don't see it that way. So we want to talk about a little bit about being single. How are you single women doing out there? You know, how are you really doing? Don't come up here talking about, well, hallelujah, praise God. How are you handling yourself? How are you keeping yourself pure before the Lord? How are you able to date without temptation? How are you able to do that? Because if you don't have the Word of God, and if you're not surrounded with people who agree and think like you, it's easy, ladies, to get pulled off and pulled away and get separated from. Okay? And so how are you holding up under the pressure? You may be a businesswoman or an entrepreneur. You know, you could be in the church working in a position or whatever. How are you really holding up? How are you handling your feelings of being lonely? Or you feel like you're lonely? Okay, how are you handling if you just dated someone you maybe thought you were going to marry, but the father has intervened and it's not going to take place? How are you handling that right now? Because you're hurt. But yet you're glad the father showed you to reveal it to you. But maybe you're going through it. How are you handling it under pressure? And another thing I'd like to say is this. I may be going ahead of myself, but I got to put this out there. Those of you who are getting married, and when people tell you that it is okay to have premarital sex because you're going to marry him, that is a lie from the pits of hell, and that is not God's plan. I don't care who it comes from. If it's a pastor, apostle, prophet, I don't care. Anybody that's a born-again believer that gives you a license to sin, when in Romans, I believe it says, sin has no dominion over us. It doesn't matter if you're planning on getting married. It doesn't even matter if you've got the ring on your finger until it is done according to the Word of God and you have gone down that altar and you all have made that commitment. That is not acceptable in the kingdom of God. And yet I hear it all the time. And also we want to talk about these seducing spirits that are out there. Oh, yeah, seducing spirits. Those spirits that do just that, they seduce you in one way or another. If it's not in the area of sexual things, you know, there are things that can seduce us, you know, certain atmospheres. So when those seducing spirits come, you know, you don't want to be around people who are, this is just coming to me, husband hunting. You know, I mean, you go to church and you're sitting there and you're going, is he the one? Is that the one? Is he the one or is that the one? You know what I'm talking about because I've been there. You know, you go to church to hear the Word of God, to fellowship, and yes, you could even meet people, but the church is not the meeting house. Okay, so they've taken it out of clubs and different things, and so now they're trying to have a dating game in the church. That doesn't work either. So what you want to do is you want to surround yourself with women of like precious faith. In other words, they love God. They may be single women, but their heart and their mind is in unity and one with the Father. In other words, they also give you accountability so that when you feel like, hey, I feel a temptation here, well, it should be someone in your circle that you could say, and you know what? Let me see if I can turn to this scripture real quick. That you could say freely and with liberty, I'm struggling with something right here. Now, you got to know who to say that to. You can't say that to everybody. But it's being honest to say, you know what, I'm growing in this thing with God. I'm a single person. I would like to date. I'd like to go to the movies with a male instead of my friends all the time. Things of that nature. Okay. But then when you start dating, you know, your feelings and emotions begin to try to get stirred. You should be able to go to somebody in your inner circle and say, I need prayer. I need you to be in agreement with me. I need you to help me be accountable. So when that single, when you're in that circle, when that single woman is talking and sharing with you, you're to take that to heart and pray for them. Don't judge them. And jump up and say, well, I thought you were really, if you were really saved or born again, you wouldn't think that way. Well, if that person's mind has not yet been renewed, it's a process. And don't get me wrong, there's some that's been in the walk of the Lord for a while and still they have carnal thinking. In other words, whatever their mind tells them to do, they're going to do it and they're going to justify it. There is something that we call premeditated. You know what premeditated. You see it on TV. You hear about it. Premeditated murder. Well, there's a thing of even premeditated sin. You know you're going to do it ahead of time, but you go ahead and ask God to forgive you before you do it. And it's not that his grace is not sufficient, but what I'm trying to do is get you to avoid those pitfalls. I want to go to a scripture here, and I believe it's in James. And it speaks about confessing your faults one to another. But as I've said before, you got to know who to speak your heart to. And I'm not talking about silly women, because the Bible speaks about silly women. But I'm speaking to women who love God, who want to live for God. And another thing, too. Nothing says you have to get married. If you choose to stay single and you can do that and God help you and keep you, that's fine. You don't have to get married. It's your desire. The Bible says he will give you the desires of your heart. And so, again, sometimes people put that pressure on. You 35 and you ain't married? What's wrong with you? Oh, you must be this. Oh, you must be that. Don't allow anybody to put their idiosyncrasies or their thoughts or their fleshly thoughts into your spirit. You make the decision. In James, it says this, in James 5, verse 16, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And it goes on to say, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So again, you're single. Maybe you desire to get married, maybe you don't. But you want to surround yourself with strong women that are in the Word of God that can help you when you are having feelings and emotions that you know will steer you to another way. Okay, we have a question that came in. How do you maintain? That's a good question. So I'm going to break it down like this, and I'm going to keep everything very nice. Praise God. Now, if you really want to hear the deal, be here next Saturday, February the 11th. So when I hear this question, how do you maintain? In other words, what you're saying to me is, okay, I'm a single person, and let's just go there a little bit. Say you've been in a relationship, and there's been some physical activity. So now you realize, you say, okay, I don't want to continue to do that anymore, but yet I've been involved with this. This is when you have to go to the Father and you just say, just very plainly, Father, I've been involved. I'm no longer involved. I know this is not of you because this is not my husband. And let's go a step further. Say you may not have physically done anything, but you've thought about it. You have images of it, which goes to what are you watching? What are you listening to? Because, see, there's three ways that things can get inside, through our eyes, what we hear, and what we speak that gets into our heart. So if you're making sure, this question, how do you maintain, that you're keeping yourself away from watching certain things that would even bring on that pressure. So what you want to do is say, Father, listen, I know that I'm fearfully and I'm wonderfully made. You made this body. But now I need you to help me to turn around the actions, these feelings, these emotions. I need them to line up to more of what you, Father, would want me to think on and how I'm to walk this out. Because I'm going to tell you, if you ask him to keep you, he will help you. Let me tell you something else. Doesn't matter how many times you have to ask. You know, when you need help, the Bible says this, and this is a scripture that's a double reference. Whosoever call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's not just for salvation. That's for whatever you are experiencing. If you wake up in the morning, you feel that pressure of how do I maintain? It's like, Father, I thank you for helping me to maintain. If you have to keep saying, Lord, I thank you for helping me to maintain my thoughts and my body and my actions. Because, see, when thoughts come, and remember, emotions are feelings of pain or pleasure to move you in a certain direction. So when thoughts come and you know that could lead to an action that you really don't want to do, you have to go ahead and pull that thought down. You have to cast that thought down. And what I mean by that is if the thought comes to you that you know and you're starting to get an image of, you need to say, no, I'm not going to think about that. The Lord is my helper. He's helping me with this. In the next 5 minutes, you may have to say again, the Lord is my helper. I'm not going to think on those things. And while I'm speaking about that, pull up the scriptures. Someone put the scripture in Philippians. I believe it's Philippians 4. Philippians 4, because it tells you what things you to think on. And it's not being super spiritual. It's just that if a thought is trying to bombard you about you're lonely, and I'm just going to say this too, you lonely, you single, yeah, but you ain't had sex and you ain't had, and you were born again. No, push those thoughts out and cast them down and bring them captive and say, no, I am a woman of God. I'm a daughter of Zion. My body is not for that use. My mind is not a playground for the enemy. How should you choose your, we have the scripture in Philippians 4 and 8. It just says this, finally, brethren or sisters, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just and pure and lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and be any praise, think on these things. Think on things that's going to bring you life. Because if you continue to think on things that are negative, it's going to bring death to you some kind of way. It will bring death to you. If not physically, spiritual death. How should you choose those in your inner circle? When I say of people of light, precious faith, if you are a single woman and you know you're focusing on living for God, being a businesswoman, entrepreneur, or whatever else, you wouldn't surround yourself with someone who has no reverence of God, does not fear God. God is not in their vocabulary at all. I'm not saying you're saying God 24/7. But when you sit, and all you have to do, women, sometimes is listen to conversation. And if you're not hearing that common goal of wanting to seek the Father, wanting to maintain purity, if you're hearing a conflict conversation. In other words, I love God, but I want to get some too. I go to church, but you know, church ain't all of that. And it's okay to go to an X-rated movie every now and then. I mean, it's okay. When you hear things like that, that is not the group that you need to be with. You know why? Because somewhere along the line, you're going straight. You're trying to go one path, and they're going to eventually pull you until you're going to begin to start thinking like them. Unless you've got yourself grounded to where you know for sure that you can make a change in their lives and pull them in. So you want to listen and allow the Holy Spirit to lead. But listen to those that even around you now. What is their conversation? Is it always about getting a husband? Listen, there's more to life than getting a husband, okay? First, you got to get yourself together. So what you going to do if the one come up to you? And your mind is still with silly women, silly thinking, and you don't have yourself together. He might be the one. But when he look at you and hear your conversation, he's going to be like, well, I know she might be the one, Father, but she's not ready yet. So, you know, it's more than just husband, honey, as I said. So if you're in a group and that's all it's talking about, it's all of this, it has to be a balance. It has to be a balance. Speak about the man, what should you look for? What type of man you should look for? Now, you know, first of all, ladies, I don't care if this is old-fashioned, you want to make sure that man is truly, sincerely born again and not just from the waist up. Y'all got that? I told you I'm going to keep it kind of nice. Don't let me break it down on blog radio. You want somebody. Can I share with you my testimony? I had told the Lord that I wanted to marry a man that loved God with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength. I told him that I knew that if this man loved God, there would be no question in my mind that he would not love me. So let me throw another one in there. I already had a son out of wedlock, which was not my husband's son, okay? So then I said, Lord, and he has to love my son. Because let me make a footnote. That's another thing. If you're single and you have children, and he act like he can accept you but not his children, let me give you a hint. He ain't the one. Yeah, I know some of you probably scratch your head. You think so? I'm telling you. I'm telling you that. Because you're opening yourself up to a lot of unnecessary mistreatment and possibly abuse. And don't you see why it's so important, ladies, that you have to pray and seek God and hear from God? Because the enemy, Satan, is a deceiver, and he is trying his best to start off in marriages. He's trying to go in. He's like a predator. And that's why I say he may look like he's born again, sound like he's born again. Oh, he may come on with a good Holy Ghost, seem like rap. But is he truly born again from the inside out? So you want to make sure that the man that you choose does love God, that he's born again, that his desire for God is to please the Father more than anything.
You know, speaking from a male perspective, it's like this. First and foremost, speaking from a male perspective and also speaking from a father's perspective, first and foremost, it's like this. The man or the woman that you're interested in, I'm speaking to the men now, that you're interested in, first and foremost, you have to be sure that you are ready to get married. And what I mean by that is, like my wife has been telling the women, the men have to do the same thing. They have to prepare themselves for marriage. You know, in the Jewish custom, the husband or the espoused male would go present himself to the Father, and he would be expected to provide for his wife, and he would be expected to be able to have a good house, a good job, and have all of this lined up before they got married. Now, true enough, in this economy, things happen. You lose your job, this, that, and the other. But does the woman, or does the woman that you're going to marry, is she worth it? And what I mean by is she worth it, meaning, all right, listen, I know I've had a setback, but I love God first and foremost. And since I love God and since I am a son of God, I am expecting to not live this way. I'm expecting to go on and to continue in the good life. I'm expecting to be able to bounce back from this because, first and foremost, the job was just a resource. It was not my source. God is my source. So, therefore, that's my mindset. You know, the thing about we men, we have this persona that we can handle it. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. We can do it. But when the rubber meets the road, can you really do it? And you can't really do it unless you have a heart for God. You know, we look for, as far as a man, we look for women, and oftentimes we look for a woman strictly physical. It's very rare that we look at a woman in regards to her mind, her spirituality, or anything. We say, dang, she's good looking, this, that, and the other. But the bottom line is, just because you see a candy bar in the window and the display is scrumptious, does that mean it's good for you? Because is that woman going to help you grow? Is that woman going to help fulfill the mission that God placed in your life? Not just on your life, but in your life. See, God does not just look at the outward appearance. He looks at putting people together in regards to their assignment. Because God is putting couples together for assignment purposes, kingdom marriages. And you can't have a kingdom marriage if one mate is pulling one way and the other, and the other mate is pulling the opposite direction. You both have to be pulling in the same direction. So let's set aside all the aesthetics, because, you know, there was this one gentleman, he met this woman, that's a short story, he met this woman, and they got married, and on their honeymoon, she was taking her teeth out, she was taking her wig off, she was taking her undergarments off, and he got on the dresser instead of in the bed with the woman and she said, well, what are you doing? She said, there's more of you on the dresser than there is in the bed. Because she projected something that was not true. So he fell in love with an image as opposed to falling in love with that woman. And that's what sometimes we as men do. We marry the idea, or women do. They marry the idea of getting married, but they don't consider that once the honeymoon is over, once the wedding night is over, once the wedding itself is over, then you have to live. And so it's like making an investment. I read one article and about this woman who is a businesswoman, and she said the best career move that you can do is marry the right person. Because if your mate, like I said earlier, if your mate is pulling one way, or your mate has ideas to go this direction and the Lord is leading you in another direction, well, that's going to be a conflict of interest. That's why you first and foremost have to be friends first. You got to know one another. You got to know what pushes her buttons. You got to know what pushes his buttons. You have to know his likes and dislikes. You have to know her likes and dislikes. And you have to talk. You have to spend a lot of time talking. My wife made mention of this earlier. You know, everything needs to be put on the table. How, okay, if my parents get sick, how are you going to take care of my parents? Do you even like my parents? And if you don't like my parents, can you get over that? Because when my wife married me, she married my entire family, so to speak. And when I married my wife, I married her entire family. And so all the quirks and idiosyncrasies. And so those were things that we walked through. We talked through, we walked through them, and sometimes we danced through them. But when I married for keeps. I didn't go in with the mindset, well, you know, if this don't work out, I can always back out. I came from a broken home, and it's not a pretty sight. My parents, the only reason why my parents got married was because my mother was knocked up, bottom line. I saw their wedding, not their wedding, their wedding license, yes. And my mother loved my father, but my father wasn't the man for her, so to speak. After so many years, they got a divorce. And so I know what it's like to be without a father in the house. And, you know, the first thing the child thinks of is, hey, did I screw up? Did I mess up? And so you don't want that going forward. You want to go in with this mindset that, first and foremost, I know John or I know Sally. You want to go in with that mindset. And the only way you can get to know John or get to know Sally is to have communication. And not just frivolous conversation. You have to have serious conversation. To know their heart, to know their mindset. See, anyone can put on a game for 6 months. Anyone can put on a game when everything's nice. But when the rubber meets the road, when pressure's on, how are you going to handle it? How is he going to handle it? Is he going to start drinking, abusing you, misusing you? How is she going to handle it? Is she going to start taking prescription drugs or whatever, misusing you? You have to have that mindset.
We have a couple of questions we want to go ahead and address. We don't have much time with you all today. But one of the questions that I was reading is, I think this is a man that's listening. It's hard for a man to find good women. And I want to read a scripture on that. And, of course, it's in Proverbs 18:22. The man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord. Okay. You know, I hear this, too, and I'm sure you all have heard it. There ain't no more good men. There ain't no more good women. The men in jail or this, that, and the other. You got to be kidding me. That's not how God has this thing set up. You're a male, and you're, when you say, you know, a good woman, I'm taking it you meaning someone, again, that's really walking the walk and talking the talk, that's not out for what all you can do for her, but that has something to bring to the table which will bring balance in your relationship. And balance is important. And like my husband was saying, this thing, and it's a good point, this thing about the outer thing, because, you know, the world system, if you watch, they really try to push that beauty thing or that size 2 thing, which doesn't make no sense to me because I'm a double-digit woman. But anyway, you know, they try to go into the facade of, you know, 34, 24, 36. Now, what about 56, 44, 56? You know what I'm saying? The point is constantly on billboards and movies. You got to be this shade. You got to be that shade. And I want to speak to you, this man that sent this request. Don't look at that at all, because she can be all of that and be walking with a Jezebel spirit. Now, that's another message. In other words, have a controlling attitude, a manipulating attitude. So as you are... I say you're seeking God and you're being specific with the Lord in what type of woman. Because, see, I don't believe in going through all the cows before you find one either. You understand that?
Nope.
You know, I think that you should just, there's nothing wrong with fellowship, but what are you wanting? Are you wanting to meet a woman to have a relationship, to balance, to possibly become your wife? Or are you looking at just a companionship, you know, dinner every now and then or whatever? Now, if you're looking for someone as far as a wife, you're going to have to do some research, even in your heart and in the Word of God. But the good woman is out there, but you don't want to be tricked and you don't want to be deceived either, men of God. you have to pray also, and you have to ask the Lord, I desire it, but I want you to show me. And like I said, it doesn't matter where you meet her. You could meet her in church. You could meet her at the post office or whatever. But you don't want to get carried away with the flamboyance of it. And you don't want to get carried away with the thought of a wedding day instead of a marriage. There is a difference.
Yes.
There is a difference. Because you men the same way. You 40 years old. And somebody said, man, what's up? He must, you know, what's up with him? Is he on the down low or the up low? I'm still trying to keep it calm, y'all. But see, don't let them put that pressure on you. If you're a man and you're 40 and you're 45, you haven't married but you desire to marry, don't you go out there and start doing a hunt yourself. That's why you have to pray and ask the Father God to help you in making the right decision. Because you don't want to end up in a countless, pointless relationship. But I want to encourage you, sir, or sirs, they are out there. They really are. And they're not out to get what you have or what you don't have. They're not. They're out there also looking for someone who is in the mutual and that will have balance and also who will give accountability for each other. I have another question here about healing the hurt and how to handle rejection. You know, nobody wants to be rejected at all. Because when that happens, the first thing that a person does is, what's wrong with me? And you know what's really something? Getting back to this, how the world system does this. It used to be like this. If a man left, was in a relationship, not married, but just, and I'm not talking about physical now, I'm just talking about companionship, and left her for somebody else. In the old days, it used to be, well, yeah, he left her because she was pretty, she was this and she was that. So, of course, that would bring that rejection to the person that was in the relationship. But let me tell you something. Nowadays, both women can be attractive, and he's still hopping and leaving from one to the other, to the other, to the other. And that's why it's so important that as we move into a relationship, that you're, again, I have to put stress on this, that you're praying. Because if you meet someone, and you know, in Colossians it tells us to let peace be your umpire, right? Let me tell you something. You can meet somebody for the first time, and if you really trust in the Holy Spirit, He'll let you know. This is, don't get involved here. Don't do that. But say you are, you have been, and now that's over, and it's a result of rejection. I want to say this: don't take it on yourself. Now, you may look and say, okay, is there anything I need to change in me? But don't take it totally on, because what you have to understand is some people are just out to do just that. They're out to just, they are rejection themselves, looking for rejection or how to reject.
I've heard others.
You know, it's like a magnet, right? So if somebody is coming and they're rejected and hurt, sometimes they tend to pull rejected and hurt people to them, or they like to give out rejection. So don't take it on as it's me, it's me, it's me. However, you do want to do a checklist, you and the Father. Okay, Lord, is there anything that I may have done in this? And once you see that it wasn't, you move on. But if the Holy Spirit say, well, yeah, you should have did this here. You should have did that there. Even then, just say, okay, I see it was my error. Lord, forgive me. And still move on. And then ask the Lord to help you with the rejection and to remove the root of rejection. And another thing about rejection is, what's coming to me now is sometimes there is something in us there has already been a seed of rejection in us. And what happens is when there are circumstances or situations that arise, they end up watering that seed of rejection. And then that harvest comes up. So it may seem like it was this person that did it, but also check to make sure if somewhere down the line another seed wasn't already there and it had been watered all along. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. I wanted to, I have another question here. Yes, Lord. The question is, do you have to watch the people you hang around? It is not as easy as it sounds. You know what? It's almost like even in friendships, in a sense, it's almost like in a way a marriage in some friendships, in some friendships. But say you got into a friendship. I'm not talking about male and female now. I'm just saying hanging around people in your inner circle. Again, there comes a time when there's a breaking away and it's a severing of the soul tie. In other words, ungodly soul ties. Listen, let me say this to you. If you, and this is to Susan, okay, if you're in a group and you have fellowship with four or five women, you all are friends or whatever, and you realize that none of them are even thinking on the lines of wholeness, completeness, or, you know, wanting the same things you're desiring, you just may have to get up and break completely away. But here's the good news, I'm telling you, because I've been there before. When you make that process of breaking away, and you start off by this, Lord, I need your help. See, everything I'm sharing with you today is I'm telling you, you got to go to the Father. You can't do it by yourself. You understand that? Y'all listening out there, you can't do it by yourself. So you asking the Father to help you to walk out the process to pull away from some not good environment. But check it out. The Father has people already in place for you to be a part of. Do you actually think? See, when you got born again, for example, you came out of the world and came into. And so, therefore, when you are coming out of that relationship, maybe with some girlfriends you're hanging around with, then you ain't going to be by yourself. Then God will have those that will come in contact, and you have to pray this, okay, you have to pray this, come in contact with those that you will have koinonia with, you'll have true fellowship with, and you'll know what it means to have true fellowship. In Amos 3:3, it says, can two walk together except they be agreed? That's not just, that's in marriage, that's in everything. Are we, when those that you are hooking up with, Susan, and you're befriending and everything, are you all agreement? It doesn't mean that you know, she might like fried chicken, you may like baked chicken. Well, that's nothing. But when it comes down to life, real serious issues, when it comes down to, what is that word I'm looking for? Morals. That's what I want to say. In your group, the thought of the moral, and that means everything, are you all in all agreement, or do they think different things about the morals, the way to handle their lives, how to do this and that? You know, and sometimes, of course, if you feel uncomfortable about something, you know, then, again, the Holy Spirit is an umpire, and he'll let you know. Well, we've only got about 90 seconds left, and I've got several prayer requests here. So I want to just take the time to pray over every one of you today. Father, I thank you so much for all the prayer requests and the questions that have come in and those that will come in after we're off the air. Father, I thank you for being their present help, God. Mm-hmm. I thank you, Lord, that in Hebrews 4, it says that that Jesus was not, in other words, he could understand our infirmities. He understood how we felt. So everything that they felt emotionally, or things they've gone through, rejection or anything like that, Jesus with them. So, Father, we remind them that they're not alone, that you'll never leave them nor forsake them. And we give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we'll see y'all the first Saturday of March. Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Soul in the City. See you later. Goodbye.